Well, good morning. I'm Danielle Glesny. I am alone today. Mark is not joining us, but I have a really great question and topic to talk about today. And sorry if I sound kind of funny. I have some allergies going on. But this is the Imago Nutrition Podcast, where we answer questions and give you practical nutrition strategies to help you and your family flourish. And we have a wonderful question from Heidi in California, so we'll get to that here. But if you are looking for ways to stay healthy during this cold and flu season coming up, so it's October right now. My kids and I just got our flu shots yesterday, so people are lining up for those flu shots and thinking about boosting their immune system. So our question is, are there any, and if there are, what are some nutrition strategies that significantly boost the immunity? And she says, I'm asking for my children and myself. So are there any nutrition strategies, and if so, what are they, that significantly boost immunity? So I wanted to walk through, kind of give you a summary of two continuing ed courses I did on immunity. So this is kind of a lot of information. I tried really hard to summarize it concisely and give you some, you know, practical strategies to think about. So first, I just wanted to remind you that a healthy immune system doesn't mean we never get sick. It means that we can be protected against infections, but just also have milder infections and a shorter recovery time. In your mind, you know, setting up the goal of never getting sick would not be a realistic goal, but thinking about, can I have some milder infections or in a shorter recovery time, and then also decrease the reoccurrence for sure. So in my most recent continuing ed course, we talked about the two arms of the immune system. So the first arm is the innate. This is the part of the immune system that you're born with, and it's the first line of defense. Thankfully, this is where sometimes the disease-causing virus can be completely eliminated. So it's it kind of has all functions. It's non-specific. So it's a good general line of defense that hopefully can eliminate the enemy completely. And some things that are part of this innate immune system arm is like physical barriers such as skin and your GI tract and your respiratory tract. And defense mechanisms are actually something like secretions and mucus and stomach acid and bile. And then there's also, you know, white blood cells and antimicrobial peptides or compounds. So that is, you know, one part of the immune system. And then the other part of the immune system is called the adaptive or acquired. So this is a specified line of defense. So this part of the immune system acts based on memory of a previous virus. So if you know, get the flu again, then it knows what weapons to use and what can, you know, eliminate the enemy. So part of this part of the arm is lymphocytes and B and T cells, antibodies, and other bodily fluids. So just a couple definitions. An antibody is a protein produced by the immune system to recognize foreign substances, such as a disease-causing organism, and remove it from the body. So an antibody is a protein produced by the immune system to recognize the foreign substance and remove it. Another important definition that we'll talk about today is what's called the epithelium, And this, just think about your GI tract as like a wall. Okay. And on that wall, there's like little finger-like projections, and those are called villi, and those help you absorb the nutrients that you eat. And so that wall is called the intestinal epithelium. So it's the lining of the GI tract that provides a physical barrier against infections. And it's also where the absorption of nutrients in water occurs. So that's a good thing to think about right now. We're just kind of setting the stage of diving a little deeper. And then another good definition to know about is microbiome. Okay. So microbiome is a collection or a community of organisms, hopefully living together in harmony, and is located along that epithelium or along the digestive tract. Okay. So the microbiome is organisms that are living together along the GI tract. And so, one thing to know is the cells in the epithelium, so that wall, those cells on that wall, and immune cells can detect pathogens that are floating around, and what gut bacteria are present. And those two things together, the pathogens that are floating around and the gut bacteria that are present, determine the immune response. And so, an immune response is when inflammatory cells attack to the invader and help heal the damaged tissue. Okay. So, what was really cool about this continuing ed is it really just boiled it down to, it's really a lot about inflammation. So there's acute inflammation and there's chronic inflammation. So acute inflammation is what's referred to as beneficial because it is necessary for healing and then it goes away. So it heals and goes away. So this is like if you get a cut, which happens all the time in my house with my boys running around and falling, like a cold or flu, very mild things. And then the chronic inflammation is something that occurs at really low level throughout the whole body. And this is what's damaging inflammation. So that is because it doesn't stop. It just keeps going. And that's what's, part of heart disease, metabolic syndrome, and other chronic disease. So that low level inflammation is definitely what we want to avoid to stay healthy long term. So nutrition, how does that play a role? So nutrition can scale down all of this inflammation, the acute and the chronic. And some key players in the immune system, which is back to kind of what Heidi was asking about, is, you know, what nutrients or nutrition strategies can we use to boost our immune system? So some key players that have been identified would be vitamin A, D, C, E, polyphenols, fiber, omega-3 fatty acids, zinc, iron, selenium, copper, and more. So I went through those really fast because we're going to kind of take a little bit more detail about those and their functions in a minute. But I first wanted to review some of those really cool studies that they talked about in this continuing ed. And then we'll circle back to the functions of those key components and what you can do. So the first study that she talked about was, you know, she made the point, you know, there's a lot of talk about anti-inflammatory diets. People Google that, they look at those foods, and then they try to eat more of those foods, which is great. That's probably increasing fiber or the amount of plant foods that they're eating. So there's nothing wrong with that per se, but sometimes those may be actually pro-inflammatory foods. So focusing on one specific food is not ideal for that reason. So they have this really great tool. It's called the Dietary Inflammatory Index. And it is reviewing over 1900 studies to determine the relationship between foods and six inflammatory biomarkers found in the body. So that is really cool. So then we can know, is that food more pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory? And so each compound received a weighted score based on the quantity of studies and the quality of studies. And so if it got a positive score, it was pro-inflammatory. And if it was a negative score, it was anti-inflammatory. And so the winners were flavonoids, vitamin E, C, omega-3s, herbs and spices, and fiber. Okay, so you can hear, you know, a lot of those similar things that we just mentioned. There are so many components. So both of these continuing eds went through so many different components and what their function was of part of playing into the immune system. So the microbial makeup of the microbiome can influence the immune system. So that is like the key message I want you to take away from today, is that all those bacteria in your gut are playing a huge role in your immune system. So, one first key is to eat fiber, because the fiber is the food for those bacteria. So carbohydrates are key. So, you know, that's not what you hear very often. Carbohydrates are bad is what you hear most often. So I'm telling you, carbohydrates are key. Fruits, veggies, high fiber starches and grains, all those plant foods are fiber and they feed the bacteria in your gut. And what was really cool is you can actually change your microbiome, the makeup of the bacteria in your gut, in as little as 24 hours. So, it's not like you have to be, ideally you'd be eating these foods long-term, so you maintain that, healthy microbiome, but to get to where you want to be is actually quite quick. So that's really good news. So how much fiber? Of course, there's the dietary guidelines that we have went over in, some podcasts, but generally it's about 22, you know, up to 35, 38 based on your calorie needs of how much fiber you need in a day. So you can circle back to our website. There's an article on fiber or a podcast of how much fiber you should have. And we'll walk through those dietary guidelines for you. But, what was really cool is she talked about another study called the American Gut Project that's still currently going on. And what they're doing in this project is they are now looking at 20,000 samples. They've currently looked at 20,000 samples. They're still looking at more to analyze the bacteria in the gut. And so they're looking for common features that can comprise the healthy gut to make recommendations. So, what the healthy guts had in common was over 30 plant foods per week. So over 30 plant foods per week. So that's kind of fun. I kind of want to add up how many different plant foods I have in a week. The key of that is all the different plant foods. They, digest the fiber differently, and then the end products are what boost the immune system. So she tells you all these butyrate and all these compounds or enzymes that are the end products of the bacteria digesting the fiber. But if you're only having fiber from one source, you're not going to get all of those different end products that boost your immune system. So that is another key point, that 30 plant foods per week, that's the variety that we need. And then we talk about a little bit antioxidants. Lots of people have heard that. There's actually three different kinds, which I didn't necessarily recognize. There's non-enzymatic antioxidants, enzymatic antioxidants, and nutrient antioxidants. And so antioxidants basically block oxidative stress, and the immune system is really vulnerable to the oxidation and antioxidant balance. So when we have, you know, just free radicals roaming around, they can impair the immune function. So we are wanting a balance between the antioxidants and the oxidants in our body. So those are, you know, part of what we talked about with an antioxidant, vitamin C. And so now we're going to circle into, you know, those functions that I mentioned. So vitamin A, we all know that that, you know, is really important for vision, but it also protects the epithelium, so that wall in your GI tract, and the mucus integrity in the body. And that was one of those, you know, defense mechanisms that I mentioned. Vitamin D is also highly specific, like vitamin A, where it has a specific function to boost immunity. Vitamin C reduces microbial cells dying and improves the epithelium integrity. Zinc functions as an antioxidant as well, and it helps start the immune response and contributes to skin integrity, again, a physical barrier needed. Copper is needed for antibody production. And so again, that antibody is a protein produced by the immune system that recognizes the foreign substance and removes it. And then carotenoids, vitamin E, and polyphenols limit inflammation and tissue damage. So carotenoids, vitamin E, and polyphenols limit inflammation and tissue damage. And then protein, you know, antibodies are protein. So protein is needed in the immune system to maintain a healthy cell count. So those are some, just a few of the functions of specific vitamins and minerals that are needed in the immune function. Now, we don't want to go to supplements for these things. We want to get these things from food, because when we get these things from food, we're also getting all of that fiber that we need. So a fiber supplement is not going to be what is going to boost your immune system. It is going to be eating as many different plants as you can, and those would be packed with the vitamin A, those would be packed with the vitamin C, zinc, copper, flavonoids, polyphenols, etc. So the big takeaway is there's not necessarily eating strategies. However, it's more a way of eating. And we obviously want to do it long term. Immune function, or you're, you know, boosting immunity since the pandemic, it's not really a seasonal thing anymore. It's kind of like all the time. So that's kind of a reason, another reason why we want to choose a way of eating, not necessarily a specific strategies to start at certain times of the year, if that makes sense. So adding spices and herbs, olive oil, garlic, onions, and lots of plants, those are going to have all those compounds that we talked about, anti-inflammatory compounds that we just discussed. And that probably sounds a little familiar. So we talked about the Mediterranean eating pattern in one of our episodes, and this is going to give you so many of those anti-inflammatory compounds. And like we talked about today, the immune function, it really is about inflammation. And so whether we're wanting to boost our immunity to, you know, prevent cold and flu, or prevent all those chronic diseases, the Mediterranean eating pattern is one idea. Now, it doesn't mean that's what you should turn to. It doesn't have to be. You can just simply think about what you are eating and how can you add more plants. So let's just say you're having oatmeal and berries and coffee for breakfast. What can we do there? We can add nuts and seeds. We can add cinnamon. So I always think about your pantry is like your medicine cabinet. So prevent all of those sicknesses. Use the medicine cabinet, that those herbs and spices, as often as you can. Let's say you have salad with grilled shrimp or a baguette with that. So add more veggies in your salad. Don't just have the lettuce and the spinach and some peppers. You know, add artichokes and asparagus and olives and whatever you can. So just boost the amount of different veggies in your salad. Maybe have a whole grain baguette so you're getting the vitamins and minerals in the whole grain. And then, or you could have something like a lentil soup. So beans and plant-based proteins would be another great way to get more plants. So when I say, you know, increase the plants in your diet, it's also the plant proteins that you can do, nuts and seeds. So it's not just veggies. Well, all of those, I guess, could be considered veggies, but so you think about just how plants can actually fall in a lot of different food groups, not just the bottom of that Mediterranean food pyramid of fruits and veggies. They can also be protein and healthy fats like nuts and seeds. So I hope this was helpful, Heidi, that you can significantly boost immunity. And it's going to happen quickly if we eat a lot of different plants, you know, in that 24-hour period. But it's also something that we want to do like as a lifestyle. So unfortunately, there's not like, okay, go eat this more avocados or more pistachios or what have you. Those two have vitamin E, so that's great. But you really need the full spectrum of all the vitamins and minerals present in those fiber-rich foods and the fiber to feed that healthy gut. So with that, I hope you all have a great day.